Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Bessie, at the round table with mothers and daughters from around the world, literally around the world. Before we get into the show, we just want to give honor and thanks to God this morning. God, we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for Jesus being our Savior. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and comfort us. And this morning, Father, I just ask that you touch every mother and daughter around the world. Touch their hearts, that it will manifest into their minds. And Father God, I pray for a renewed mind for mothers and their daughters. Because if the mind is not renewed, then pray that when you touch their hearts, that it will mind so that they will see things from your point of view. I thank you for trusting me with this assignment. Couldn't think of a better thing to do. I appreciate it. I thank you for loving us all unconditionally. And Father God, I release myself to the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit will speak on your behalf to mothers and daughters around the world, to the fathers and sons that are listening, to help create a healthier mind which will manifest into a healthier family, creating the God effect on the family that you intended. We thank you. We appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that's the thing. We have to look at the renewing of the mind. If your mind doesn't change, think about it now. If your mind doesn't change, nothing else will. Think on the same thing, you're going to do the same thing. If you think on the same thing, you're going to receive the same thing. You get what you think. And that's why God said, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you don't like where you are at this moment, then you simply change what you say. And that's some of what we're going to talk about today. You simply change what you say. And when you change what you say, it changes the thought. It changes what's on your mind. Very simple recipe. Very simple. It's so simple that most of us try to make it complicated. We have to look at some theory and put a lot of things to it. God didn't make it complicated for us to receive what he designed for us. But, oh, you better believe, you won't have to fight to get it, even though it's very simple. And the reason I say you have to fight to get it, because you got the enemy there. You got another spirit that's trying to block you and keep you from getting to the goal. When you think of a game called football, you know, I've been watching football for, I'd say, since 71. And the goal for the other team is to stop you from getting to the other end, to get to the goal on their side. No, we're going to stop you. They strategize. They look at the best player, the best runner, and then they study that runner. They study that person, all the moves. They go back to look at the videos. They do all of those things to create a plan of action before that team get there. So they know his moves. They know what plays they're going to possibly play. They look at the ones that they played, and they plan. Because what they're doing now, they're changing their minds from the game they played the week before to this game that's coming up this week. Forget what's gone on last week. We've got to focus on what's coming up. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit today. You've got to be able to change your mind. No, that's not our topic. But it's a key element into this recipe that we're going to talk about. Each Saturday, we go into a different recipe to create a different result. For the newcomers that are coming on, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and you're here with us on Blog Talk Radio at the Round Table with mothers and daughters from around the world. And if you know a mother and daughter that is, you know, dealing with some issues, having some conflicting conversations, it seems like they just don't know how to get to the next level with that, this is the place that they need to come. It's simple. You can call in on your phone, 347-539-5078, 347-539-5078. You can listen to the conversation. You can get what comes to you out of the conversation. And if you decide that you want to say something, you want to add because you want to share your testimony with another mother and daughter around the world, you click one and it'll prompt me. And when I get to the switchboard, you know, we're talking, I'll see it and I will definitely do my best to get you on. Okay? That's 347-539-5078. And in fact, I want to challenge everybody out there. Why don't you text at least 5 people and tell them to come on? Every woman is a daughter. And every woman, their decisions, their behavior, their conversations, all are affected by their relationship with their mother. And that brings us to our stimulating topic today, the inheritance from a mother to her daughter. The inheritance from a mother to her daughter. Think about that. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and we are here at the Roundtable on Blog Talk Radio. Check out a website called They Call Me Ham. I'm not going to tell you much more than that because I want you to check it out. Just go look at it. It's very cute. Take you about 1 minute and see what it says to you. TheyCallMeHam.com. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1, at gmail.com. drbessie1@gmail.com. Our stimulating topic this morning, the inheritance from a mother to her daughter. Now, that should bring up something in your mind. You know what it means to inherit something, or at least you think you know. We're going to talk about that, okay? My co-host today is Cynthia Oliver, Janice Paldo, Frida Hunter. I don't know who's on. I know Cynthia called me. She's taking a class, and Janice is taking a class. Everybody's just growing. We started out every Saturday morning. Everybody's in place, and that's what happens with this ministry. You know, we're here as mothers to grow and develop into our purpose. And I'm seeing that. A lot of times, one time I said to myself, I said, oh, my goodness, everybody's just venturing out. And I'm pretty much left by myself on Saturday morning. You know, one here, one there. And then God said, that's because they're being blessed. So I am excited to see all of my co-hosts developing into their purpose for life. As I speak to them, I see them going into their purpose. But you, in order to go into your purpose, you got to get straight with God. You got to write. You got to walk the walk and talk the talk. Do that, the blessings come. And I see that in the ladies that are out there. They, you know, nobody's perfect. We're not looking for perfect. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about focusing on God's word and be quick to repent for whatever you do. And don't do that again, because if you repent, that's God to forgive you. And you go right back and do it again, then that's not repentance. That's playing with God. And he won't allow that to go on much longer. You know, you just can't do that constantly. You know, God is no fool, and he's not someone that you can play with. So, you know, this going back and forth, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, that's not working. And mothers, if you're out there doing that, praying and asking God to forgive you, and your daughter see you going right back into the same behavior, then they are going to inherit that type of behavior. And that's what we want to talk about today. So get your pen and paper and your favorite drink and sit back and relax. And then we're going to get into the word that the Lord wants us to get for today. Welcome to Mothers and Daughters Around the World. I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm here as the facilitator, releasing myself to the Holy Spirit to speak to mothers and daughters around the world. I know nothing without the Holy Spirit. I'm not that smart to say I can, whatever, I got something to say to you. No. I release myself to the Holy Spirit, and whatever come out of my mouth is what the Holy Spirit deems to speak. You know, our platform, for the ones that are new, that's coming on, maybe for the first time, we work from Ezekiel 16:44. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Now, that's not my words. That's the word from the Lord. Go to Ezekiel 16:44. See it for yourself. When God showed it to me, I've been doing mothers and daughters since 1999, doing workshops, ministering in different programs. Just a year or so ago, God said, you want to know what I think about mothers and daughters? And you know, all those years, he waited. All those years, he waited. And that's why they said, in God's timing. And I said, Lord, I've been doing this since 1999, and you just telling me this now? And he's like, yeah. You know, who's going to question God? That's when I needed to hear it. For some reason, he didn't want me to know it. And that was in the Bible all the time. Well, I don't claim to be a Bible scholar of any sort, because with me, I'd rather not even try to risk changing the word of God. I would rather read it than to try to impress somebody that I know a verse so well, because every time you read a verse in the Bible, it comes up with it's who you are and where you are mentally at that moment. It will supernaturally reinvent itself for your need and your thoughts for whatever you're going through at that moment. That's why you can go in the Bible and open it up and just say, I'm just going to open it up and see what the Lord has to say. It will always be a word perfect for you. And you say, wow. I mean, I opened it up and it was exactly what I needed to hear. And I said to God, I said, my goodness, Lord, every time I open this thing up, it fits perfectly. And he said to me, yeah, because I'm God. And whatever you need, no matter where it is in the Bible, when you put your hands on it, it's going to be right where you need it. The naturalness of God, he's not a natural man. So, therefore, when we're talking about mothers and daughters, as is the mother, so is the daughter, think about it. There's a supernatural piece inside of that. And you are responsible. God is holding you responsible, mother, for your daughters, your granddaughters, and your great-granddaughters, and your great-great-granddaughters. Because he's the parent, and we sometimes get out and think that we're the parent, and we will lose our perspective and think that we have the ability and the power to make decisions without informing our parent and asking for permission from our father. We just go out there and think the world has told us that we're grown. Now, you're a grown woman. You can do whatever you want to do, especially when you hit 40, you know, then all of a sudden you're real grown. And then when you hit 50, you're grown, and 60, oh, just, you know, whatever I want to do is good, you know, kind of a thing. But we still have to go back to the Father and ask for permission. And then got it down to the fact that if I want to buy a pair of shoes, I will ask God, can I buy those pair of shoes? Whatever I do, I'm asking, can I do this or should I not do that? If he says, no, don't buy the shoes, I'm not buying them. Because if I go buy the shoes I mean, that's what you call being led by the Holy Spirit. If we as mothers are asking God to lead us with our daughters, to lead us in our lives, we have got to ask him about all things, not the ones that you think that are important, because you're going to miss the main thing. The main thing is that you are honoring God as the Father, knowing that he knows things to come. So therefore, why even put yourself through the changes? Just simply ask, God, should I buy these pair of shoes? And if he says no, keep going. And you say, well, it's just a pair of shoes, Dr. Fletcher. Why would I have to ask him to buy a pair of shoes? Well, you know, that's what he says. Come to me with all things. And all means just what it says, all. There's no in-between. All things, no matter how tiny. You do good with little, and I give you much. So if you ask me about a pair of shoes, I know you'll ask me about that jet, Bessie. You see? So all things. Now, the pair of shoes, you'll say, well, it's just a pair of shoes. Yeah, but what happened? You've been walking down, and all of a sudden your shoe get hooked into a crack, and you see people break the heels off the shoe. Sometimes people fall, damage their knees, have to have surgery, twist the ankle, walk it on crutches. All of that could have been avoided if you simply asked, should I buy these shoes? Think about it. And I know that for a fact because it happened to me. I was walking, coming out of a building, and my heels, they were thin. The little heel were very thin. It got okay, I think I went off there for a moment. We're back on. We were talking about, I was telling you about the shoes and being able to, you know, go and ask God for whatever it is that you want by honoring him, even if it's down to a pair of shoes. And I was telling you that the shoes that I had on, I don't even think in that time what I thought about asking God, should I buy a pair of shoes? You know, we just go out and we buy. We just buy the shoes because we like them. They're in style or whatever. And then all of a sudden I come down, I was stepping down the step and my heel got caught in between the little metal rail and it flipped me up in the air. And I can remember going up like on a trampoline. And something just grabbed me. Well, not something, the Holy Spirit grabbed me. And when I land on the cement, it was like I land in a pillow and of cotton balls. But in the meantime, I twist my ankle. And for 6 weeks, I had to walk around with crutches. Now, I had a house with three levels. It was very hard to go downstairs. You know, everything I needed, I would put in a bucket and I would make my way downstairs to spend the day. But time as I got downstairs, there was always something that I needed from upstairs. And when you're home alone, you just do without because you don't want to have to go back through that process. So why am I saying all that? I'm saying that to say this. We have a responsibility to our daughters. Responsibility to our daughters is the inheritance. That's back to our topic. What are you leaving for your daughter? Now, last week we talked a little about the bond between a mother and daughter, and we talked about, you know, piggybacking. We piggyback it off of the week prior to the mystery of a mother and daughter, and we kind of brought that together just for the newcomers so that you know where we are today. So when we're talking about the bond between a mother and daughter, that bond is key. That bond is whatever you decide that it's going to be. And usually, mothers, you have to be the one that go over and above because you're talking about a child that you brought into this world and that child really not having the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that you have of the experiences that you have that you've gone through. You've been through the briar patch. You've gotten stuck. You've gotten scratches. You've gotten all the abuse, and you know what that's like. So what we need to do is look at how can we help our daughters avoid some of these traps and thorns and up the road. Now, of course, I understand. You have one out there that's just got to go down their own path. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, they will design their own path, and they will get angry with you for trying to tell them, don't go to the left, baby. Keep straight. Don't even look at the right. Just keep going straight. You're going to avoid some of this, this, and this. But a lot of times what we do, we preach at our daughters, but we don't share with our daughters, look, this is what happened to me. I went down that path, and this is what happened to me. A child will be more inclined to listen to your story opposed to listening to your persecution with your words. See, there's a difference. If you sit down and say, when I was your age, this is what happened to me, and I'm just going to share my story with you. Now, you take whatever it is that you need from this story and use it. If there's nothing in this story that hits your heart, then, you know, it stops. So now we're not preaching. We're teaching. And that's a big difference. You get the preaching, and especially when you're preaching and your life doesn't reflect that, or they knew you when your life didn't reflect that, that's what they're going to remember. Yes, we have not always been the holy women that we are now or that we think we are. Our daughters remember us when. Remember, they have been with us for some years. And remember, that's 86,004, and she has a computer-based mind, recording everything that you said, done, talked about people, laugh at them, you know, tricks that they hear you planned, and they have all those things recorded into their subconscious mind. God didn't make us to be fools. He made us very intelligent. We are intelligent beings. And sometimes they have that information in their subconscious mind that won't allow them to communicate with you clearly because of some blockage that occurred when they were little. And they may not even know what it is. They just know that they just don't feel close to you. They don't feel connected to you. And somebody needs to go back and figure out what happened. When did this blockage take place? And I challenge mothers, I say to them, go back and remember the day that you had your daughter and come back up. Just step by step, step. Remember when she was a little girl, how she played. Remember when she was four. Remember when she was five. Remember when she went to school. And all of a sudden she came home one day and she was upset. And then all of a sudden her attitude changed. Oh, stop. Okay, something happened there. That's where you need to start digging. That's the goal. That is the explanation. That's what I do when I'm counseling mothers and daughters. We start from the beginning. We come up until we get to that snag. Uh-oh. And the mother says, I remember. I remember when she was six. I remember when she was eight. I remember when she came in one day at nine. And then she just, all of a sudden, the attitude changed. Well, something happened. Don't take a rocket science to figure that out. Something happened. But yet, to you young mothers, I'm saying to you, when you see something happen, when you see that change in the attitude, when you see, you know, they have something that has happened that they don't want to tell you because they don't trust you enough to tell you. For some reason, they don't feel that they can come tell you, or they're afraid that if they tell you, you're going to do something about it. I had a young lady, a client of mine, and she's 10, and something happened, and when we discovered it in her session, I discovered it in our conversation, and I said to her, I said, well, you know what this means, you know, because with the client, I have to tell them, if you decide that you want to commit suicide, if you're going to hurt someone else, you know, there's certain things I can't keep from your parents. But generally, we're going to have a conversation. This is your private time, and what you tell me, stay with me. Now, I don't do that just because I'm a psychologist. I do that because that's my personality. I don't talk to people about other people's business. So the young lady looked at me, and she knew what I was saying. She knew we had to tell her mother. But I had to keep talking to her and keep talking to her and showing her why her mother needed to know this information until she really made up her mind to change her mind to say, okay, I want to tell. It's okay, we'll tell her. And the reason she didn't want to tell her mother, because she said, if I tell her, she said, the last time I told her that someone, a young man hit me, it went to the principal, it was all over, it just turned out into a big, big, big thing. And she was afraid if she told her mother, then her mother was going to bring this up. She said, I'd rather handle it myself. I really don't want to tell her because the last time, I don't want to go back through that again. So she really didn't tell her mother because she didn't want to have the effects of the behavior of the mother and the way she knew her mother would have handled it. So when I brought the mother in, we were talking, and I said to her, I gave her the background, and I told her, I said, we need to share this with you, but let me first say, this is why she didn't want to tell you. And so the mother kind of relaxed because she knew then, okay. But when we explained how she handled it, she could see the growth in her daughter, which made her very proud, and her attitude didn't go from 0 to 60. Because we as parents, you know, we're very protective of our children. Somebody does something, you know, you there. That's what we do. But sometimes we can go so fast that the child is embarrassed because the child has to stay in that school or that environment, and we always have to think, okay, how's this going to affect my child, my behavior, my actions, if I don't do this right? Because that child is connected to you. You're a union. You know, you have an attachment, friendship, relationship. And all she wants to do is go to school and be in peace. And that brings us to our topic today, the inheritance from a mother to her daughter. Now, when we speak about inheriting something, usually the first thing that comes to our mind will be money or stuff that someone leaves us when they die. You know, inheritance. Did somebody did? Yes, yeah, she has a large inheritance. Really? Yeah. Oh, people get friendly to you. People start acting different. People that haven't spoken to you before now speaking to you because you have came into an inheritance. They don't even know what it is. But the word inheritance means you have accumulated, you have received something of value. But there are many different types of inheritance. And the type I want to talk to you about today, Mother, it's not about money. It's not about stuff. It's about you, the inheritance that you are leaving to your daughter. God said we, as parents, should leave an inheritance to our children. We are responsible to leave an inheritance to our children. But most times when we're talking about an inheritance, it's a house, a car, small amount of money in the bank, and an insurance policy, and maybe some trinkets like, you know, your mother's favorite ring or necklace or, you know, furniture in the house. And those are the things that will break families up once that death occurs. People stop speaking. They don't speak for years because they wanted that dresser. That was the dresser that I wanted. She would not let me have it, and therefore I don't speak to her for 20, 30, 40 years. I'm done with her. All because of stuff. But I want to talk to you about something that is made by hand. I'm talking about your state of mind, Mother. See, there's a state of inheritance or inheriting something. There's a state of being fixed to a characteristic personality of a person. There's an inheritance of the human language. Not so much money, property that's left after a person leaves here, There's something from your past that is still important or valuable to your daughter once you're gone. I'm going to say that again. There's something that's from your past that is still important and valuable to your daughter once you're gone. And that's coming into something, being left something, being the heir of something, taking over something from a state of mind. I want you to think about this. Not just a subject that we can just kind of skip through the yellow brick road, just kind of skip down like la 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 la. You know, no, this is very deep. This is essential to your mother and daughter relationship, to the relationship that's going to affect your granddaughter, your great granddaughter, and your great great granddaughter, and all the sons that they will bear, raised to be fathers. This thing is going to spread. And it all goes, in other words, it takes us back to the definition that God put out there. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Ezekiel 16:44. Now, there's no getting around the word of God. You can't get around that. So you got to get it, mother. Whoever you are being, however you're displaying yourself, you're leaving an inheritance to your daughter, your granddaughter, and some of you have great-granddaughters, and some I know have great-great-granddaughters. That inheritance is their memory of you, their memory of your words, their memory of your behavior. What are you leaving your daughter? When you're gone, what are they going to say about you? I remember a young lady said to me, now this is not her mother, but this is her father. The father wasn't really in their life. But you know, when someone died, we all get dressed up. We put on our very best. And even we don't visit the person. You know, I don't have the money to go see him. One day I will. But you let the person die, you'll find the money. You'll borrow the money. You go on your job with the old sad story. Well, I just lost my dad. I just lost my mom. So, you know, I got to go to the funeral. Not making mockery, but that's what we do. Because all of a sudden it's very important that I get home to the funeral. But you won't spend that money prior to. And you go do whatever you want to do. Go on vacation, take the family, do whatever. But the minute that person dies, all of a sudden you can see that it's important that I get home. Why am I saying that? It's because something in your mind, something kept you away from your father. And the reason I'm saying this is this young lady said she was sitting there at the funeral of a man that she really didn't know, other than the fact that she knew he was her father. Had some interaction with him, never bond, really. And all the children was getting up talking about a man. And she said, I was saying to myself, who are they talking about? That's not the man I know. They all got up there, and all of a sudden, their minds changed. Because, see, I was telling someone this just a week or so ago. People are afraid to talk about dead people. So no matter what, when they die, all of a sudden you can see nothing but the good, even if you have to make it up. And she's like, I wanted to get up and say, hey, wait a minute. Why are you all lying? That is not the person that you all are talking about. You see, rather than to tell the truth of the inheritance that he left for them, They'd rather cover it up for the public. But see, you know, and more importantly, God knows. It doesn't matter about what people say. It doesn't matter about what another mother or daughter say about you. The only thing that matters is that there is someone sitting high, looking low, looking at everything that you do, like you're sitting in a glass, like a fishbowl. And no matter where you go in that fishbowl, God has his eyes on you. So if you live your life like you know God is watching you, then you are leaving a godly inheritance to your daughter. And that godly inheritance will affect your granddaughter, your great-grand, and your great-great-grand. You will live forevermore, in their words, of truth. And you won't have to make up a lie to cover, because what you're leaving an endangered species called an ungodly daughter. And an ungodly daughter will do ungodly things. So as you sit today, and as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, if this is touching your heart, you need to go to God. No, we're not responsible for a grown person. But just make sure that you're doing all that you can do. And you keep God in front of that daughter. In front of that granddaughter. You do what you know that you're supposed to do, because God don't put us all in a bunch. Even though he gave you that daughter to raise, he's not going to hold you responsible for that daughter's action if you're doing all that you're supposed to do. And all you're supposed to do is consult God, live your best life according to his word. You're covered. But the more you do that, as that daughter grows older, God's word will not go void. He said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word go void. Putting out the right type of inheritance through your words, through your thoughts, through your vision, and living it in your reality, that daughter will turn into you, because God said it. He said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. So you just keep doing the right thing. You just keep going on. Doing the right thing. I don't care what it looks like. Satan wants you to think that she's out of order, that she's no good, she's never going to get on track. You just are messed up, and God is not pleased with you. You know you're doing the right thing. You just keep doing the right thing, because God cannot lie. He said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. So don't stop doing what you're doing if you're doing the right thing. Because that's who she's going to turn into. It may take another 10 years. It may take another 20 years. But you better believe it's going to happen. Either you believe God or you don't. But if you're running around here acting like a fool, and God says a foolish person, doing anything that you think you're big and bad enough to do, you're sitting up. And working against God himself, who's saying to you, as is the mother, so is your daughter. Now, that is a direct defiance to God's word. If you're doing anything outside of the will of God, if you're out there and you know you're doing it, and God done told you, and you're listening, and you're still doing it, you are headed for trouble. Because God is not going to let you just keep going on and on and on against his word. Because he has given you a daughter to raise. He's not going to let you keep contaminating his children. It's not going to happen. And that's a word to somebody. You can't keep contaminating God's children, because he has us all here for a purpose. We are all a part of a body of Christ. We all have a purpose. And if you stop a person from getting to their purpose, you're just subject to be put to sleep, because God's will is going to be done. And no one person is going to stop it. So you might as well get in line, go to God and find out What is it that I'm supposed to do? Repent. Don't do that anymore. Keep going. That's all we have. We have Jesus died so that we could repent. God will forgive us. He will forget it. You need to forget it and keep going. I don't care how bad it was yesterday. I don't care how bad it was 10 minutes ago. Repent now. Ask God for forgiveness. Make up your mind that you're going to leave a godly inheritance to your daughter so that you can help God create a whole new generation of mothers and daughters and families, which includes fathers and sons, that's here to do the work of the kingdom. Don't help Satan work against God. Time you're going against the word of God, we all don't know all the answers. But there is a witness inside of you that will say to you in your spirit, you'll feel it in your belly coming up. You know you've overrode. You're on the other side of God's word. And that spirit is trying to bring you back, especially if you've saved and been a child of God, but you backslid back into your own ways. The Holy Spirit is with you. And you're always going to feel condemned when you get into your private space. You can laugh and kid with all of the people and have a party. But when you come inside your room, when you come inside of that quiet, still voice, condemnation is going to follow you in there. You will know. You will know. Then you repent. But then what? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, there you go again. So the message this morning, mothers, what are you leaving to your daughters, including granddaughter, great-grand, and great-great-grand? What inheritance are you leaving to them? Care if you have plenty of money. I don't care if you have tons of houses, cars, and things. Those things are just earthly things, and nobody's going to depart from here and take them to heaven. They're just things for you to play with while you're here. And you may leave those to your children, but don't leave them in the mindset thinking that is the greatness of you. That is not the greatness of you, because no one knows how you got those things. You may have gotten them illegally. Only you and God know. But don't let your children and your daughter know that or think that's the greatness of you. Let them know that the greatness of you are your words. And when you say something, you mean it. And when you do something, it reflects your word. You are a doer of your word or the word of God, because most of us are doer of our words, but a doer of the word of God. And if you become a doer of the word of God, your thoughts are going to change. Therefore, you are a new creature in Christ because you have different thoughts. And because we're all spiritual to one spirit, your daughter knows when you change. She knows when your thoughts change because the words that come out of your mouth is going to be different because you're going to see a different vision. Now you got a transformation of your mind. And your reality is going to change. You can't change your words and your thoughts and your visions and live in the same mess. It's not going to happen. When you change the three, the fourth one automatically occurs because that's the reality of what you said, what you thought, and what you saw on your mind's eye. That's the battle. Everything is within your head. The mind says, think or see. So think about it. Challenge yourself and think, what image am I leaving in the minds of my children? Because my daughter is going to be just like me, because God already told me who you want your daughter to be. If not, like I said, to mothers, and I always say to mothers and daughters, trust God, have faith in his word, and watch his word manifest into your mother and daughter relationship. because your words create your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into your reality. And if you don't like where you are, you simply change what you say. That's my take on it. Let's see who we have on the switchboard. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Bessie, and good morning to, I know in the absence of Cynthia and Janice, our co-hosts, and mothers and daughters around the world family. This is Frida. I'm Frida Hunter, the co-host, and I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge the profound things that Dr. Bessie is saying, and I concur with basically when she's talking about what are you leaving. It's your legacy. It goes far beyond the material possessions because we want to be able to leave things as far as what are you instilling in a person, which is actually going to make the change. And I just wanted to mention that I had an opportunity probably about maybe a month or so ago, and I was talking to Dr. Bessie in regards to my mother, and when I spoke, I put my hand up like a measuring stick, and I said, my mother, to me, it was just her lifestyle. She was a person that she always was, how can I say, she wasn't just idle. She always was working towards, you know, something great to be. To me, she was an extraordinary person, especially that her mother was totally different from the way that she was, and that's because she made a decision that she wanted to be a different parent, and it's not anything to take away from my grandmother because I have fond memories of my grandmother, but my mother just wanted to be able to just to do different, and as a result, I was blessed and be able to share the same things with my spiritual daughters that I have been working with for years. And I just wanted to just mention that the legacy that we're leaving after we leave is more valuable than just the material things. There's nothing wrong with the material things, but we want to have it in perspective. Generations after we leave. And so we have to change our mindset with that. And God is the only one that can be able to. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision that you want to be better. And I commend the mothers, like Dr. Best you're saying, that are striving to do right and have been doing right. Just continue the course. Just to continue it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I thank you. That's what you got to do. You got to continue the course because, you know, the things that we see are not the things that are real. That's what the enemy wants you to see because he's trying to stop you, the mother. And in order, if you got a good godly mother, then the enemy is going to go. Okay, I had to click you off there a little bit. There was a lot of noise behind you, Frida. Thank you. That the enemy is going to go after a mother because he knows you are tuned in. You know, we done got ourselves cleaned up. We're getting older, and we're getting closer to God. And so now, you know, okay, now you are tuned in, but I got your child out here. I'm going to work through this child because I know this child is close to your heart. That's what he does. With God, he knows that God loves us. He knows that God loves us more than anything. Why wouldn't he? He created us. He even created a son just to come back to show us, hey, you're going down the wrong road. Jesus, suit up, go down, show them how it's supposed to be done. Let them know that I'm not a deadbeat father. I left them an inheritance. They are rich. They are rich beyond all measures. But Satan has done what? You know you're rich. That's why we work so hard and we have these desires to have great things because it's in our hearts to have them because we already have them. But Satan will do what? He will put together a picture. He will put a whole play together in front of your face, and you think that this is your life. It is not your life. It is it's your imagination. It's a part of your imagination. It's not real. Why would God create beings with a spirit, his spirit in them, to come down here and have to struggle? Come on now. There ain't nothing good about that. There's nothing good about that. But see, Satan has created this thing of working, climbing the ladder of success and this and that and the other and the competition, who got what, she's got this, you need to get that. And then all of a sudden you're not focusing on what God has left you. We're so busy focusing on the world, the television, the newest, the latest car, the latest this, and got to go to this movie, got to go to this place just to impress people. We get into vanity. Always want somebody to think you're better than what you are in the world. Because if you get into the greatness of God, nothing can touch that. And that's where we have to fight. You've got to fight for it. It's not going to come easy. Let me open this up. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Fired up this morning.
Yes, I hear that. I said, wow, she's on it today. But it's all good. That really, how can I say, really just hit my spirit when you said it may take 10 years from them to get it, but just as long as you're doing right, living right, and leading by a godly example, it will eventually kick in. And that is so true. And we have to, as mothers, and just as women, we have to, you know, because we can be a spiritual mother for another young lady, another young man, and they're watching our character and our integrity. And so little things that you may think not, they may not notice. Let's just say, example, maybe the cashier gave you $5 too much. You know, things like that. Instead of the integrity, using the integrity, you keep the $5, or do you use godly integrity and give the $5 back? So we have to realize that people are watching us, our daughters, our sons, and just people as a whole. And when we leave a godly, impart godly integrity, godly character into them, that will last a lifetime. Not only will it last a lifetime, but it is something that can take them on in life, can possibly save their lives. So we just have to look at that thing, because I feel like your character and your integrity are two things that will go before you, and they're also two things that you can leave behind you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I like that. I like that. That is so true. I hadn't thought about it like that. Thank you. That's a good word. You know, when you're talking about the money, the cashier, yesterday my grandson, we went to their favorite place to eat, and we ordered. And, of course, he has his cousin. They all here with me in Florida. And he brought his little cousin, and this is my favorite place I like to go to get the ribs. And we ordered the dinner, and we were going to the next one to pick it up. And the lady came, and she placed all the food there, and she said, thank you. She said, enjoy. I said, wait a minute. I said, I haven't paid for the food. Now, that's about, what, $40, $30-something, $40, whatever, with taxes, whatever. And I said, oh, you haven't? Because you have to pay at the first window when you order. And I said, no. And the people that were standing out there, they was like, wow. And they said, well, wow, that's – I said, no, I am living a life of integrity. Now, God says I have an inheritance, and the only reason I have not been experiencing the good of my inheritance is because something I wasn't doing. I'm not playing with it. And I'm not just that. I'm talking about my thoughts. I'm talking about my words. I'm talking about what I see on my mind's eye. I am fine-tuning all of this because his word is true, and I'm not going to live this lifestyle, and I see the changes. When I started making the changes, God started revealing more and more and more. So I'm saying
right.
this to you mothers and daughters out there. Yeah, they were looking, and had I walked off, my grandkids would have looked at me like, okay, now she says she did, but then she's going to take that money and know she didn't pay for it, you know?
That's
and
right.
another example, when we went to the drive-in, you know, my grandson said, well, they'll probably think I'm younger than what I am because I look young. I said, maybe, but we know how old you are. And because we know how old you are, you're paying for an adult. Yeah, well, they may think I'm younger. No, but we pay. Because, see, that was a prime example for them to see. And I'm leaving an inheritance to him that, you know what, you can't just do anything outside of God and think you're going to get by with it. I said, God will know. That's who we're pleasing. God will know. And he said, yeah,
right.
I'm just teasing him, man. But I wanted him to know. We're teasing. No. But I want you to know the reality of it. God will know. All right, I thank you very much. That's our show for today. You have a blessed week. Mothers, daughters out there, what are you leaving? And I'm speaking to mothers, if you're over 50 years old, come on, come on, come on. God has blessed you to live 50 years, half a century. Most of us don't get to the 100. So think about it. You don't know what it is right now. I don't know what time God's going to say, come home, Bessie. Come on. But you know what? You know you're closer than you were. You know you're closer than you were. Get it together. God bless you. Y'all have a blessed week. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m. We'll